Hi folks, everybody hear me okay? I'm Thomas Fennell. I'm a program manager in the developer platform team in Windows Phone. And before I get started, I just want to bring up that we are going to give away a phone, a Lumia 920, at the end of this presentation. So if you pay very careful attention and you answer a question that I ask, and I like your answer, or at least it's the right answer, then you could win a phone at the end of the topic. So keep your eyes on the slides, see if you can figure out what the question might be, and we'll get to that at the end. I'm going to go ahead and apologize right away. Usually, Andrew Klinik would be doing this talk. He's my boss. He would do this type of talk because the Application Foundation team and Application Foundations as part of Windows Phone is what he owns at Microsoft. But he's on a National Lampoon's European vacation right now. He is doing 2 or 3 weeks in Europe just all over the place, and he's going to have a great time. And so he said, oh, you can go and do my talk, and I challenge you to get more views than I got when I did the similar talk a little while ago. See if you can do a better job than me. And I thought to myself, if I do a better job than you, is that going to look good on my review? Is that really a good idea? So I'm just going to go ahead and set your expectations reasonably low so that I can keep my job whenever I'm done with this presentation. So we're going to talk about the application foundations today for Windows Phone. And what that really means is there's a core set of things you have to do for app development in Windows Phone and that you have to do well to really do a good job with the application as a whole. And these topics are kind of the high level of what you need to do. We're going to talk about app lifecycle, because when you do a Windows Phone app, you do have to think about the lifecycle of how that app works on the phone. And it's not complex, but it is something that you need to think about, the interactions between people moving between apps, people using the start button, people using the back button. And so I want to take you through a little bit of that today. And we're also going to talk about performance, because performance is really, really important. And we're going to talk a little bit about what performance means. It's not just numbers. Performance is also something people feel whenever they use your application. Going to talk about multitasking, because multitasking on Windows Phone has actually taken quite an evolution. It's gone from our original release all the way through Windows Phone 8, and we've made some very important key decisions that we'd like you to understand so that you see why we did the multitasking story the way that we did. I am going to talk about phone integration as well, but I'm not going to spend too much time on those topics because there's a lot of other good talks coming up at Build that are going to let you see how to do some great phone integration stuff. And then I'm going to talk about enterprise, and I'm going to spend some time talking about how developer feedback with our enterprise features has actually led us to change some of our policies for enterprise app deployment so that you can use it in new and unique ways. So with that, let's dive right into the application lifecycle. So when your app is installed on a Windows phone, the state it exists in before anybody's ever launched it is, of course, not running. It's just there. It's been installed. It's on disk, but it hasn't ever done anything. The first time the user launches your app, and they can do that from your primary tile by pinning it to the start screen from the app list or just by launching it in the app list on the phone, it's going to enter into a launching state. And this is an actual event that you're going to get. You're going to get launching. And you need to pay attention to that event because it's the first time your app wakes up. Maybe there's something you need to do for the very first time your app has ever launched. Maybe there's a flow you want to take your user through at first time launch. Once it moves through launching, the app moves into the running state. And we're going to spend a lot of our time talking about the running state and how things come from and go to the running state. But really, the running state is when your app is in the foreground. That's when your app has been launched, now it's sitting there in front of the user, and they're interacting with it, they're using it. From running, your app can move into closing. How does this happen? Well, really, your app's running, it's in the foreground, and if the user hits the back button and backs all the way out of your app, completely out of whatever they're doing, then your app would go through this closing state. Closing is Windows Phone's equivalent to exiting, to quitting, right? But you don't have a quit button, you don't have a close button. People get there by backing out of your app. And of course, you can repeat this cycle over and over and over again. But in reality, most of the time, once you get into that running state, you're actually going to spend a fair bit of time between it and some other important states that you need to think about. Those are the activated and deactivated states. So when your app's in the foreground and the user hits the start button, for example, or a phone call comes in and they decide to take the phone call, your app will get a deactivated event, and you need to act on that event because you might need to save a little bit of state, like if the user was in the middle of filling out a text box or if the user was in a certain place in a list where they were scrolling and you want to make sure that when they come back to the app, they get back to that same place, you need to think about how to keep that information during the deactivated event. In Windows Phone, when your app moves through deactivated, it ends up in a suspended state. And suspended means that your app is still there, it's resident in memory, but we're not really doing anything with it. It's just completely suspended for the time being. And suspended isn't like quit, and it isn't like it's been backed out of all the way. It's there, and depending on the memory pressure on the phone, we'll talk about tombstoning, because your app can move into another state. But typically, from suspended, you'll move back into activated and into running, because the user will navigate back to your app with the task switcher, or they'll launch your app again. They'll back into your app using the back button. So they get an activate. You get an activated event that you need to pay attention to in that case. So when, like I said, under certain conditions, though, memory pressure may mean that your app can't stay in that suspended state. Maybe a lot of apps are open on the device, and we have to start closing some stuff down to keep the foreground experience really fluid and beautiful. So you can move into what we call a tombstone state. I'm not actually going to spend time on tombstoning today because tombstoning's been around since Windows Phone 7, and there's a bunch of good documentation I'll point you to at the end of the talk that lets you know how to deal with tombstoning. Tombstoning really means that we have to kind of kick your app out of memory, and so you may want to start saving more than you previously would have into a dictionary or something so that when the user resumes your app, you can get that state back. But just like with suspended, whenever your app comes back from tombstoned, it's going through the activated path. It's not the launching path, because again, your app wasn't really closed, it was just removed from memory. But we don't want you to go through the launching path again, because really, the app wasn't killed. It's going to hopefully resume back to where the user was when you do the right things with state management. So that's kind of what it looked like in pictures. Let's talk a little bit about what it looks like in the code. When you create a new project for Windows Phone, we put these events in something called app.xaml.cs. I will show you in a demo in just a minute what these look like and how these work. So you've got the launching event, you've got the activated event. Those are what you can see on the bottom right now. And you've also got the deactivated and the closing events as well. And we'll go through each one of these individually. But what I want you to pay attention to is kind of the way you get to each of these events in this next flow. So typically, like I said, you would start with launching. So your app comes up for the very first time, and you go to launching. But typically from launching, you don't go into activated, or you actually almost never go into activated. So a lot of people think, oh, launching, activated after launching makes sense, then deactivated, and then closing. It seems like they would kind of be sequential, but they're not. Launching and running then would usually move into deactivated, because once your app is running and the user hits the start button, we're deactivating your app. From deactivated, you usually move back into activated because the user comes back to your app. And that cycle right there is the one that usually kind of continues over and over and over again. You move between activated and deactivated because your app is kind of going between the foreground and the background. Typically, you get to closing by the app having been activated and running, and then the user backing all the way out of the app, which is effectively closing it. You can also get to closing from launching because the user could have launched your app, done whatever they needed to do in it, not context switched at all, and just backed out of the app when they were done with it, and that would have moved it into the closing state as well. So that's kind of what it looks like in words. Let me actually show you what it looks like in code now. Okay, so this is the most complicated demo you're going to see at Build, I guarantee it. You can take my word for that. So I'm going to start a new Windows Phone project, and I'm just going to pick a Windows Phone app, targeted at 8.0. And over in Solution Explorer, I'm going to show you the what I'm going to be working with. I'm going to be working with app.xaml.cs. This is generated for you for every Windows Phone app. Let me zoom this in so you guys can see it better. And inside this, you can see those events that I was talking about. There they are. Launching, activated, deactivated, and closing. Now, let me set breakpoints at each one of these events. And we will proceed with the world's most complicated demo. So that's it. That's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to start this up in the emulator. And I'm going to show you how these events work. Really what I'm trying to show you is the flow that I just described, and I want you to see it happening in a real application. So I'm going to spin this up in the emulator. So remember, this app was brand new. I just created this app. So I'm deploying it to the emulator, but it had never actually been launched before. So the first thing that we expect to see, and it already broke into that in the debugger, is launching. Because the app was installed, then the OS kicked off the app to run it, and so now it's launching. It's going through that launching event. I won't hit any more events after this now. Because it's launching, once it's done launching, it's going to be done and the app's going to be in the foreground. And you can see I didn't hit any more breakpoints. Now here's my very beautiful and complicated app in the foreground running just like you'd expect. So, like I said, usually from launching, you're going to move into deactivated because the user's going to go do something else. In my case, I'm just going to go to the start screen. So I'm going to hit start. And you can see I broke into the deactivated event. Like I said, this is the point at which you might want to save some state. You might decide, I need to save a position in a list here just in case, worst case scenario, my app gets tombstoned, and I'm going to have to restore that state. Let's make sure that we keep that state somewhere in a dictionary or something in isolated storage settings. So, again, I'm not going to hit any more events now. Once I'm done with deactivated, and I get 10 seconds for that to happen to run code in the deactivated handler, I'm just going to move forward, and you can see the app's now in the background. It's still there. I'll actually show you. It's in the back stack. And as a matter of fact, why not just, let's just launch it. So let's launch it from the task switcher here. And what we should see here is activated, because the app isn't launching this time. It was just paused. It was just dormant. And sure enough, I come in, I get the activated event, just like you'd expect. And I'm not going to hit any more events again. I'm just going to hit activated in this case. And then the app is in the foreground again. And so now I'm going to show you the last situation. Like I said, whenever your app's running and the user's done using your app and they really and truly hit the back button all the way out to back out of your app, you'll get the closing event. You won't get anything else before the closing event. You'll just get closing. So hit the back button. Like I said, there you go. Closing event fired. And that was it. So I know I promised you the most complicated demo. If anybody else thinks they've got a more complicated demo than that, they can come see me and we can fight it out. Back to the slides. So that was the app lifecycle. I know it was simple, but it's important to pay attention to because the app lifecycle builds to a lot of things in multitasking and in performance that you need to think about to have a really, really engaging and performant app. So speaking of performance, let's get into that a little bit. Startup time for your application is the chance for you to lose your user. It really is. When your app starts up, the user expects it to be there as quickly as possible. And there's a lot you can do to get it there quickly, but one of the things you can do that's really, really simple, and it's a tip that we wouldn't usually give you anymore except for when I talk about Fast App or Zoom later, you'll see why. Get rid of your splash screen. Splash screens are great. They serve a purpose in a lot of apps, but don't have a splash screen for your app unless you absolutely have something you're executing while the app is starting. Otherwise, a splash screen just takes up time, and it actually is kind of jarring to the user to see a splash screen every time they launch the app. It makes it feel like the app isn't just there waiting for them. So really think about your use of a splash screen. But not everything in application performance is something that we're expecting developers to do. We invested heavily in performance in Windows Phone 8. The example I'm using here is the Facebook app. The Facebook app used to take 12 seconds to launch on Phone 7, and it takes 4 seconds to launch from a cold start on Windows Phone 8. And all that stuff is because of things we've done in the platform to improve. We have improved the execution environment. We've done something called compile in the cloud. I'm going to talk about that in my next slide. We've done some improvements in Core CLR. And all of this stuff just happens for you. You don't have to do anything new to take advantage of these performance improvements. You just write your app like you've always written your app, submit it to the store, and it will all come to you for free. So compile in the cloud is one of the things we did for performance, and it's a really interesting technology, but I like to talk about it because I think it's a really green technology. I'm a little bit of a hippie, and I think that this is something that actually saves the planet, and let me tell you why. So when we moved to Core CLR, we could do native image generation, which meant basically we could pre-compile the app for you for the most part. You could do this on the device. So we could take your Zap in the cloud, let you download it, and let the phone actually do this native image generation if we wanted to. It could spend cycles to optimize things. But we thought about it and said, every single person to download somebody's app, they would have to have that happen again. Every phone would have to do that. And we feel like, well, it could just happen one time in the cloud. And if we do it in the cloud, we save trees, right? We save power, we save energy, we do it one time in the cloud for everybody, and it just works on everybody's phone. And the nice thing is, you don't have to do anything. Again, you just submit your Zap to the marketplace, and we do the work for you. And if your app is going to be installed on a 7X device, so not an 8.0 device, there's a version of your Zap in the cloud that's not engined, so that it works just fine on those phones without any changes. But for phones that are running 8.0, we make sure we send the engined version down to those, so they get all those benefits of performance. And the thing to remember about performance, like I said earlier, it's not just about measuring numbers. It's really, really about perception for the user. It's how often people use your app will kind of dictate how they feel about the performance of the app. And switching between the app and context switching can sometimes be jarring if you don't let the app resume in a way that makes it feel like it was there and alive and ready for them. So when we get to a little later in the deck and I get through multitasking, we're going to talk about something called Fast App Resume, which is really going to help you have the perceived performance of your application elevated so that it seems like it's always there and waiting for the user. So we also had something like this in Windows Phone 7.5. We had a way for it to have this perceived performance boost by using what we called fast app switching. This is when you held the back button on the phone and you got the task switcher up. And whenever you switched to an app that was in the task switcher, when you got to that app, it resumed itself very quickly. It just kind of came back to life. We're going a little further in Windows Phone 8, and I'll tell you about how to actually make that happen soon. Before we get there, though, let's talk about the multitasking story as a whole in Windows Phone. So multitasking on Windows Phone started in Windows Phone 7. So these were the features when we launched Windows Phone 7 that were about our multitasking story. Tombstoning, which I talked about a little bit, which is where your app might have to go save some state if it gets removed from memory. Run under lock, which was really the ability for your app to keep running even when the lock screen was down. We wouldn't suspend your app. We wouldn't tombstone it. It was still there and running. And at the time, we considered the notification story part of the multitasking story. And it really still is, because even when your app's not around, even when your app's not in the foreground, you can use notifications like live tile updates, like showing a toast notification to the user to get them re-engaged in your application. We can do some things on behalf of your app, like update your tile, that makes it feel like your app is still there and running, but the user doesn't know that it's actually not. So that's why it was part of our multitasking story. I'm telling you this multitasking story because we wanted to make sure that the foreground experiences on Windows Phone were always fast and always fluid and always beautiful so that the user always got the best possible experience with what they were interacting with right now. So we built our multitasking story in phases to make sure that we got that part of it right. So in Windows Phone 7.5, we introduced a little bit more you could do with multitasking. I talked about fast app switching. Tap and hold on the back button, you get the task switcher, and that can resume apps very quickly. Again, perceived performance becomes good with that. Users think the app is coming back very quickly. We introduced background audio playback. Background audio playback meaning that you can have something like Pandora running in the background playing music for you even when you're not using the Pandora app anymore. We introduced generic background agents so that you can actually execute some code on a schedule, or sorry, about every half hour, and that code will run for your app on behalf of your app, and you can do things in there that might mean updating a tile, that might mean syncing some data or updating a database, whatever your app needs in that generic sense for that background agent. So that was the next step in evolution for our multitasking story. Then in Windows Phone 8, we introduced a bunch more. We introduced VoIP. The VoIP model is something you can use for an application so that you can keep a VoIP call running in the background to make sure that you can initiate a VoIP call even when the app isn't running and the app may not be available right now. We introduced something called continuous background execution. This is a feature that you can use to actually let your app genuinely keep running, its process is really still there, and do something with location. So if you have a location tracking app and you need it to keep running, like a turn-by-turn navigation app, or I saw a really great use of this for geofencing lately with an app that would remind you whenever you get into a certain area that you should pick up some milk, for example, because you're close to the grocery store. So there's a lot of great scenarios for continuous background execution focused around using it for location. And then we introduced fast app resume, and that's what I'm going to spend a little bit of time coming up in a demo showing you how to use and how to enable it in your app. This kind of evolution of multitasking makes us feel like we've got an actual full-featured multitasking phone and multitasking developer story now. We have things like being able to continue to run the background. We have VoIP. We have the ability to switch between apps quickly. We have a full platform when it comes to multitasking for applications. So I keep talking about Fast App Resume. What is Fast App Resume? A little bit about the UX before I go into the demo. Fast App Resume is, again, about perceived performance. Whenever you use Fast App Resume, we've got some UX principles for you that basically start with, whenever your app is launched from the primary tile, we're going to give you a way to make it so that that doesn't launch a new instance of your app. So somebody goes to the app list and launches your app, or they've got your primary tile pin to start. Instead of at restarting the app from scratch, the app will resume to what it was previously doing. And that's the experience that users want, and that's what they expect. We found that studying users as they started to use Windows Phone 7.5, that they thought, well, when they launched apps from the start screen, they should just go back to what they were doing. And so we've enabled a way to do that. When it comes to secondary tiles, though, and secondary tiles are something you would usually use to take your user deeper into your application, like you might have a secondary tile pinned for a specific sports team, and so it would take you directly to that sports team's page inside your application. Secondary tiles shouldn't really have the resume experience for your application. That's a specific kind of user action on that secondary tile. Users have an expectation that that's going to take them to a specific place. And so whenever you launch the app from a secondary tile, what we're going to do is ask you to do something called clearing the backstack. And again, we've got this code for you. It's easy to do. But basically, start fresh from a secondary tile so that the user isn't jarred into it feeling like they resumed a previous experience when they had an actual intent in mind. And then whenever they back out of that, they don't feel like they're resuming into an experience they might have forgotten about before. We're going to clear the page stack, and you'll actually go back to start. And then one more thing I want to kind of drive home a point on is don't block the on back key press event. So you could, if you wanted to, keep people from really exiting your app or even prompt them that, hey, if you push back one more time, the app is going to exit and the app is going to be closed. But doing that breaks up the flow between applications and in the entire model of the page stack for Windows Phone. So prompting people to say, are you sure you really wanted to leave the app, actually interrupts their natural life cycle of moving between things. So don't block that event if you can avoid it. So the basics of how you enable Fast App Resume is this easy. You're going to go into the application manifest. If you've never seen that, don't worry. I'll show you what it looks like. And you're going to just add this activation policy called resume. The activation policy used to be replace, which meant every time you launch the app from its tile, we replace the old instance. Now we're giving you one called resume so that you can resume the instance of the app that's already there. Even with this Fast App Resume, apps are still suspended or tombstone. The life cycle of the application doesn't change. The activated, deactivated events, being able to move into those states is all exactly the same. And as a matter of fact, Fast App Resume is kind of dependent on those states for you to be able to decide what to do about clearing the backstack or not clearing the backstack and resuming the previous experience. So, what I want to do now is actually show you some examples of some apps that have started using Fast App Resume. And I'm going to show you that using a real phone, my phone, and some apps that are in Marketplace today. So can you guys see it? Yep. So that's my phone. That's my adorable boy on the lock screen. My super secret password that everybody knows now. And this is my phone. This is what I use every day on a day-to-day basis. And I'm going to show you how Fast Resume works in the context of real applications on the marketplace that have taken advantage of it. I'm going to start off with Pandora. So why am I starting with Pandora? Well, because it's awesome that we have Pandora on Windows Phone 8. I'm so happy to see it. But it is a really great application, too. It's really well written, and it's a really great experience. And it does a great job of Fast App Resume. So I'm launching Pandora. That was Pandora launching for the first time. We went through the launching event in that case because it wasn't currently running on the phone. And I'm just going to pick some music to play. Hopefully it is with everybody's taste. So you can kind of hear music playing. I'm not going to play it for very long. I'm just making the point that this is one of our types of multitasking, right? This is music playing in the background using a background audio agent, but it's also going to show you how Fast App Resume works. So just remember that music is playing in the background, and every once in a while I'll remind you that music is still there playing by just bringing up the volume control and showing you it's still playing. So that was Pandora. You can see Pandora did a great job updating their tile here. I'm not going to talk too much about that today, but I will tomorrow at my other session. So they have a great tile story that they're showing their users. Now I'm going to launch Twitter for the first time. Again, Twitter's not in the back stack. I'll just prove it. There's nothing for Twitter in the back stack. So let me launch Twitter. And so Twitter's going through its launching event for the first time. Twitter is a great example of a really modern application with a modern look and feel that still adheres to Twitter's own brand. And it does a great job with Fast App Resume as well. And I'm going to move now from Twitter into Facebook. And again, this is Facebook launching for the first time. It's going through its launching event. This one's always a little risky. You never know what my friends have posted on Facebook. Maybe we'll just move through some stuff quickly. Okay. So I'm going to go out of Facebook now. So now all those apps are running in the back stack. And the old way in Windows Phone 7 was you would navigate to those apps and you'd be able to resume them by launching them this way. That would bring that fast resume experience. But instead of doing it that way, what if I go back to the start screen and I relaunch Pandora, for example? Well, it's not going to relaunch. It's going to resume very quickly into the previous experience that I was in. Or what if I relaunch Twitter? It's going to very quickly show up. It's like these applications haven't gone away. It's like these applications are still there waiting for the user, because really they are. It's a great experience to have as an end user, because when you context switch between applications very quickly, instead of having that 2 or 3 seconds you have to wait for the app to come up, it's just there and it's just waiting for you, and it feels better and more alive that way. I'm going to show you an example of secondary tiles and deep linking and clearing the backstack now as well. So I was in Twitter. Let's say I want to go read this specific news. Now I'm in here, and if I go out of the Twitter app and switch to Facebook and go back to start and back to Twitter, you see that what I'm going to do near is I'm going to resume to what I was doing, right? I was in that specific tweet that I was reading. So when I go launch Twitter from a secondary tile, like I said, our UX goal is for you to clear the backstack in that case, because launching to a secondary tile is usually a deep link into a specific experience. And resuming doesn't really make a lot of sense there. You want to give them that deep link, and you don't want to have the rest of the page stack sitting around. So I'm going to go search for something called PKD Cure. And you can see it started that up very quickly. It has now searched for those tweets. And when I hit the back button, it's not going to take me back to the previous experience. It's going to take me to start, because it cleared the page stack like we think is the right UX model. Another thing I'd like to show you is that Twitter has also implemented a home button. And if you've been around Windows Phone development, you might actually have heard about our position on the home button previously. I'm tempted as to whether I should even bring it up, because if you don't know, I don't want to break into jail. But still, we used to tell people, don't use a home button. And it actually did make sense before we had the ability to resume applications into a previous experience using Fast App Resume. Now that we have that, there may be a good reason for apps to have a home button in them. For example, here, with the Twitter app. I've launched the Twitter app, and I'm in a deep link, and I'm searching for specific tweets, but maybe I just want to go back to the home page of Twitter. Well, they've done a great job, implemented a home button that takes me back to their app's main page. Very easy, very simple, makes a lot of sense for the user to be able to get back to the main page of the app this way. And through all that, of course, music was still playing, still in the background, doing its thing. So those are some examples of real apps using Fast App Resume. Now what I'm going to walk you through is what was really going on in all those examples. And I'm going to take you through kind of step by step what was happening in the user flow. Before I go on, want to say those apps have done a great job. We're really excited to see apps doing more and more and more of that because of the experience that it brings to the phone, to the user. And we'd like to see even more apps doing it. And that's why I'm spending time on it today. So let's pretend like you took your app as it exists today in Marketplace, if you've got one there, and all you do is enable the resume policy in the manifest. That's it. This is the experience that your end user would have. I'm going to launch the Facebook app. So now the start screen you'll see is on the back stack. It's moved all the way over to the left. That's what's the first thing in the back stack. The Facebook app launches. It's in the news feed. And I'm going to pan over to another pivot, and I'm going to click the friends link. So now that's going to move into the back stack. The main page of the Facebook app is moving there. I've navigated to the friends page. So the friends page is in the current stack. It's on top of the stack. Now I'm going to hit the start button, so that friends page is moving to the back stack, and now I'm on the start screen. And now let's say I use a secondary tile, this places tile, to launch Facebook. Well, what's going to happen is the places page is now on the top, it's in the foreground, and it's on top of the page stack. And this is what the page stack looks like to the OS. It's brought this app to the foreground, and it's got this new deep link that you went to, as well as the previous pages you had gone to in the app. And if the user hits the back button, they're going to go back to the previous thing in the page stack, was the friends page, and then back to the main page of the app, and then finally back out to the start screen. That's okay. That experience isn't really bad, but we can actually do better than that. And I'm going to show you what better than that means by following those UX principles I outlined earlier. So let's clear the page stack instead. Same scenario. I went to the same place in the Facebook app. I click on places, which is a deep link. And instead of keeping those two pages around in the page stack, I get a chance to just clear them. Very simply, I would just iterate through what's in the back stack and clear it out so it's gone. So now what's on top of the stack is just the places page, just the deep link. And whenever the user hits back, they're going to go back to the start screen, which is where they came from. So that makes a lot of sense to them. They came from the start screen into the app. They hit back, they go back to the start screen whenever they leave the app. Okay, what about resuming? This is called cancel navigation because what you actually do when you resume is you say, don't go any further, just go back to what I was doing. So, again, same scenario, a couple pages deep in the Facebook app. I'm going to click the main tile. And instead of the main tile actually launching the Facebook app to a fresh instance of the app, we're going to let it cancel any navigation and just stay exactly where it was. So now you'll see what was on the back stack, which was the friends page, is actually in the foreground for the user now. They're actively engaged in the page that was previously there. And then the experience would be just back out of the app from that point if they wanted. So, showing you what it looks like in pictures, let's show what it looks like in real code. So this sample that I'm working with here is the SDK sample for the back stack. It's out on MSDN. It's in the Windows Phone Developer documentation. Really easy to get your hands on. Great sample to look at that you can pull pieces from into your own application if it's already in the store and make sure that you're able to clear the page stack or resume the app correctly if you want to implement Fast App Resume. If you don't have an app in the store, then a lot of the code that you would need to do or that I'm going to show you here is actually already in the default template for you to be able to take advantage of if you want to do Fast App Resume. So the first thing I'm showing you here is the app manifest. And you get here by looking in Solution Explorer and looking for wmapmanifest.xml. And then viewing the code for this, because setting this is actually only able to be done through the code, not through the manifest designer. So you're looking at the XML of the manifest itself. And this is the line that's interesting to us. We're going to change activation policy to be just resume. So it's replaced by default. We're going to change it to be resume. So change that real quick. And I'm just going to stop here. Like I said, you could just do this if you have an existing app. You could stop here, and the experience wouldn't be terrible. I want to show you what it looks like with a sample. So I'm going to deploy this app. Whoops, I'm still debugging in my other one. Give me a sec. One more time. Okay, so I'm going to deploy the app. You can see the app is using a splash screen. It's in the sample, but like I said, I would recommend you don't use a splash screen anymore. It makes things so much faster. So here's the app in its main page, and this app is really simple. It really only does a couple things. It really only navigates into other pages in itself. So main page is page one. I can go to page two. I can go to page three. So it's just got three pages in the app. And now if I leave the app, what you're going to see is the resume experience. So I leave the app. Here's the primary tile for the app. I launch it. I go back and I resume. And if I start hitting the back button, I'm going to see what was previously in the page stack. Makes sense. But let me show you kind of a jarring experience that the user might not understand. I'm going to leave the app here on page one. And I'm going to launch it from a secondary tile. Now, this secondary tile just deep links to page three. That's all it does. But when I launch it, it takes me to page three. Everything seems fine, except now when I hit the back button, the previous stuff in the stack has been brought with the app as it brought into the foreground. So what you're going to see, me hitting the back button, is the main page. The user would expect to see the start screen, because that's where they came from. But instead, they get the main page. Again, it's not terrible, but we can do better than that. We can do a better job for the user to help them not be confused by the navigation. So I'm going to back out of the app completely. I'm going to stop debugging. And I'm going to show you where we can solve that problem. What we can do is, whenever the app is resumed, you'll get a specific event called a reset event. Sorry, whenever the app is launched from a deep link, you'll get a specific event called a reset event. And you can take advantage of that to do some work. And the work we would recommend you do is clearing the back stack. So I've got it commented out. Let me uncomment it. All I'm doing in this code is really nothing. I'm just clearing the stack. You can see the loop doesn't do anything. I'm just clearing the stack out of the way as I go through here. And with that one simple change, I'm just going to redeploy the project. And you'll see how it changes the behavior of the app. So I'm in the app. Everything's the same as it was before. I can navigate forward and backward. I can leave the app. And whenever I click page three now, I'm going to get the deep link, just like you'd expect. But now when I click the back button, because what I've done is looped through that code to clear the back stack whenever the app launched, I'm going to go back to the start screen. It's that easy. And it's very easy to implement that on your own app, to pull this code out and put it in your app if it exists today. So that's all well and good, but there's actually a little bit more that you can do. There's a little bit more you can do for the user to help them. Take a scenario where you might be using the Facebook app, and you're browsing Facebook, and you're looking at a friend's post, and you leave the app there. You hit the start button, go back to the start screen. And you don't come back to that app for, let's say, 24 hours. It might still make sense to resume to the previous post that the user was in. They might have remembered that they were looking at their buddy's post. That's why the app resumed there. But another experience you could give might be to actually launch them back to the main page of the app, because after 24 hours, they probably don't remember what they were doing, and making them back up to the main page of the app might not be the best thing to do. You could also give them a home button, like I said in the Twitter app. But if you don't want to do that, I've got another thing, another trick you can do, and that is you can kind of keep track of when the last time the app was deactivated. And then when the app is activated again, check how long that period was. And if it seems too long, like the user won't remember why they're resuming to what they're doing, you can just take them back to the main page. And I'll show you an easy way to do that. So back in Visual Studio, what I'm doing here is I'm actually only checking if it was 5 seconds since the last time, because I don't want you guys to sit here for 24 hours while we figure out that the app was deactivated 24 hours ago. So I'm just cheating and using 5 seconds. This would be whatever's right for your app. This could be something as short as 60 minutes or, you know, 3 hours or something, whatever makes the most sense for your app. And I'm really just checking a timestamp. And what I do is whenever I deactivate the app in that deactivated event, I just write that timestamp into isolated storage settings. And then when the app is resumed, I read it and I kind of do the diff and figure out if it's been long enough for me to actually not resume the app itself. So I have one piece of code I need to uncomment to make this happen. And you can see this is in the activated event, just like I said. Uncomment this guy real quick. And I'm just going to rerun this. So now again, the app, I can move forward to pages. I'm going to quickly show you that resume works just like you'd expect. I resumed right into page three. But this time, let's wait. One, two, three, four, five. He's smart enough to count to five. And on top of that, whenever I resume the app, You see, I was actually taken to the main page because I checked that value and saw it had been 5 seconds and decided, let's take the user to the main page of the app instead. So, neat trick you can use in case your experience dictates it. So, I know I focused a lot on Fast App Resume, and I did that on purpose because it really can make a huge difference to your app's performance. But here's the main things you need to remember. From your main tile, resume your app. Unless you've got a special case like I just talked about where it might not make sense to resume after a certain period of time, just always resume your app to the previous experience. It will seem so much faster to the end user. For deep links, clear the backstack. So secondary tiles aren't the only kind of deep link. You could also clear the backstack if your app was activated, say, from a toast notification that came in that deep linked to a specific page. But in general, whenever you deep link into the app, whenever you don't start it from the primary tile, clear its backstack out from under it so that the user navigates back to what they came into the app from doing. Again, please don't lock on back key press. It really kind of interrupts the user. And test this. It's pretty easy to test. Like you saw me just flying between apps like Facebook and Twitter, just using them quickly. Just test this with your own app. Just make sure that you try it out for all the scenarios that make sense. If you've got secondary tiles, try pinning all your secondary tiles and making sure that you get the clear backstack behavior that you believe. The nice thing about most of the behavior I just showed you was it's implemented in app.xaml.cs, which means it's kind of always happening because it's happening at the root frame. You could implement this behavior on every single page if you wanted to, but doing it in app.xaml.cs means that it happens kind of universally across all of your pages in your application. If you've got a specific reason that you don't want every page to have a resume or a clear behavior, or you've got some individual pages that you don't want it to happen on, you could do it on individual pages, and there's examples of how to do that on MSDN as well, but in general, doing it in app.xaml.cs is the best way to go. And even with all this, even though now it seems like your app is always coming back and always resuming, don't forget tombstoning. The most popular Windows Phone devices in the world are 512 meg devices. 512 meg devices is half the memory of a 1 gig device. And that means that there is more memory pressure on those devices. There's a higher chance of your app being tombstoned and removed from memory. So just don't forget about tombstoning. It's not scary, even though it has kind of a scary name. It's not scary. Just read up about tombstoning if you don't know about it. Know what to do to serialize your data if you need to whenever your app gets deactivated. So now let's talk about some of the super fun stuff you can do to integrate with Windows Phone. Part of the foundations of an application is more than just dealing with the life cycle. It's integrating with the root parts of what an application can do and how that app can interact with other apps, for example. So app launching with URI and file associations. Sometimes you hear this as app-to-app linking or custom schemes, but roughly this is just being able to use a custom URI, a custom scheme, to go from one app to another app and provide some context. The examples I'm giving there are pretty simple. You could call out to the Skype app, and you could give it a parameter. You could give it some name-value pairs, and you could potentially start a Skype call with me like that. So you could have one app start up the Skype app, and then the Skype app could start a Skype call with me. Or Facebook app, for example, could automatically navigate to my profile if it was launched to from another app. This is actually really easy to do. It allows for browser integration as well, which means that if you use custom schemes on a website, then launching that link from the website will launch the app on the phone and bring the app to the foreground and do the custom integration. It's a really rich way to do integration between apps. I'll give you a specific example after this. But really, this slide is just a setup to tell you to go to Sean McKenna's talk. Sean McKenna's talk is Friday at 2. It's going to talk about app-to-app communication. And it's a really great talk for understanding how you can do all this great interactivity. He's also going to talk about file associations as well. Now you can register to be a PDF reader on Windows Phone if you think you write a better PDF reader than we do. That's fine. You can be the PDF reader for the device. Just register that file association as something your app can handle. I actually use an app called Code Viewer that does file associations. It knows to recognize like .cs files, .xaml files, .xml files, and that way somebody sends me something in email and it has some code attached to it. I can actually use this app to launch that code, and they'll let me view it. And he actually does some nice formatting and stuff in there too, so that I can see what's going on and maybe help that person right from my phone by being able to view that custom file type. So go see Sean McKenna's session. Some of the kind of stuff you might see at Sean's session is an example like this. So the other day, my dad went and saw Star Trek without me, and I've kind of forgiven him, but still, I haven't seen it yet. He went and saw Star Trek, and he went to the Regal Issaquah 9 Cinema, and he posted that on Facebook. Now, what could happen is if I went into Facebook and saw that, and I tapped on that link, it could launch the Fandango app. You could use something like Fandango colon, show a theater with a specific ID, and it could deep link me into the Fandango app for that specific theater. So that if I want to go see that movie before he gives it all away by spoiling it and talking to me about what he saw, then I can go get tickets right then and there using the Fandango app, using deep linking. It's a great way for apps to cross pollinate with each other and make sure that users get a great experience with deep integration. So another really important type of integration, and it's really dear to my heart because it's an area that I own in Windows Phone, is tile templates and tile sizes and tile and notifications in general. In Windows Phone 8, we increased the number of templates available to third-party developers. So you've got three different templates you can choose from, and that's what you're seeing on the screen now. The first template is from an app that's called Weatherflow. They're using the flip tile template. Weatherflow is a beautiful app, does an amazing job with its tiles, and you can see he's done a great job of making sure that between the different tile sizes, he shows different information that makes sense for the tile size. So when the tile's big, he's showing more information. When it's small, he's only showing the most critical piece of information. That tile flips over periodically, so he's got, like, on the back of the medium size, it can actually say, oh, you know, the weather's going to be colder than yesterday, bring a jacket, something like that. So that tile just flips over periodically. The iconic template, the one you're seeing in the middle there, is to look and feel like the iconic experiences on Windows Phone, like the mail experience, the messaging experience, things that center around using an icon, this iconographic way of doing things. But it's not really iconographics, infographic is really what it's about because it's flat, it's simple, it's about informing the user. This is great for people who have a really strong brand and that brand kind of conveys everything the user needs to know about the app, and their notification scenarios are more simplified. Skype, for example, shows me the latest incoming IM that I got, and that's what they show on their tile, but then their logo is still prominent and present, and they also show the count of the latest or the last number of messages you've gotten on your tile. So iconic, great to use if you've got a strong brand. On the iconic template, we do something unique. We let you control the background color independent of whatever the user has set as their background theme. So for example, Skype's color is important to them. That's why we let them control the background color on the tile to be that color. The cycle tile is something you probably saw in our Photos app, the built-in Photos app on Windows Phone. It cycles through 9 images. It's really beautiful. I use an app called Weave. It's a newsreader, and it does a beautiful job with the cycle template. Every half hour, they have an agent that runs. They go grab new news stories for you so that whenever you launch the app, there's new stories ready and waiting for you. But on top of that, they use the images from some of those news stories to put on your tile, and it cycles through those 9 images. So they've always got me interested in learning something new. They've always got me interested in going into the app because I can see there's a cool new news story that wasn't there half an hour ago, and I got teased by those images that were cycling through on the tile. So cycle templates are great to use for that. It's great to use for photo sharing or even for streams like from Facebook or Twitter. Could be a great use of the cycle template as well. We also introduced lock screen on Windows Phone 8. So you can actually take over a good chunk of the user's day-to-day space in the lock screen itself. The lock screen is something you really need to make sure you do a great job with because the user sees it so much. Your app can show a bunch of different stuff on the lock screen. Your app can show detailed status, which it says work on build slides right there on that one. That's the detailed status. That detailed status is pulled from your primary tile. You can show basically any text you want there by showing it on your primary tile. You can show a count at an icon on the bottom there. That's called quick status. You can show a background image. You can see the picture of my son there is on the background. And this app that I'm actually showing you right now is showing me my calendar. It's showing me my schedule. He's gone into the calendar database, pulled my next upcoming appointments, and pasted it over the top of the image of my son and put it right there on my lock screen for me. So then instead of just seeing one appointment in the future, which usually isn't enough for me, I can see multiple appointments coming up in the future and figure out, you know, I need to move between buildings at certain times to make sure I get there. So really great integration, really important to make sure you do a good job with it, make the user feel like it's their space because they see it every time they pull their phone out of their pocket and look at the lock screen. Dynamic wallpaper is pretty easy to do. You can do this through a CPL or you can do it within your app. You can kind of ask for permission. The best time to update things that are on the lock screen is whenever your app is running. Remember, your app running can either be it's in the foreground or it's got like a background agent running every half hour. And it's just a couple of new WinRT APIs we introduced in Windows Phone 8. Really, come see me tomorrow at 11:30 if you want to see detail of how to do this. I'm going to show you how to do an update to your lock screen image from the background. I'm going to show you how to update your tiles from the background. I'm going to show you how to update tiles from a push notification. Everything about notifications and this last two slides, I'm going to expand on significantly in my talk and show you exact details of how to do it all tomorrow at 11:30. So the last thing I wanted to touch on before I go is enterprise. So in Windows Phone 8, we wanted to deliver on a lot of enterprise features because we know how important it is to big, big enterprises to have a way to manage devices in their environment. There's a lot of device management capability in the enterprise features for Windows Phone 8. You can do full hardcore management using something like Intune, meaning you control the policies on the device. You can set policies to be applied and updated. You can keep apps up to date automatically. There's a really full, rich feature set of device management you can do through the enterprise story. But you can also do app deployment through the enterprise story, which is important to enterprises because they don't want to put their apps in the Windows Phone Store. And we agree with that. Enterprise apps have no need to be in the Windows Phone Store. They should be able to deploy apps on their own. And you can deploy apps in a bunch of ways in the enterprise story. You can do it using Intune. You can do it as a standalone process altogether, where you don't even have to have an Intune server. You can do something as simple as send somebody a registration file, and once they've done that, then they can just install an app by downloading it from a website or downloading it from an email attachment if you really wanted to. It's really a flexible way to do things, and it ranges well from small businesses all the way up to very large businesses. But that's not the only thing enterprise is good for. We heard at the end of the Windows Phone 8 launch last time that the enterprise story sounds great. If I was an enterprise, I would definitely take advantage of it, but I'm not. I'm a small app developer, and there's gold here. They told us, you could actually help us in our app development process by letting us act as enterprises. Imagine if you have a company of a small company of many people, and you're constantly iterating on your app, and you want to get that app out to the phones of the people who are in your company so they can kind of test it for you. But you're not really ready to release it to beta, or you're not ready to release it to the outside world. Well, previously, you would have to sideload that application on everybody's device, which means everybody has to have a developer unlocked device, everybody has to plug their device in, and everybody has to deploy the app that way over to the device itself. And it just was too slow. And people said, well, we could use enterprise to do this. Give us a way to do this with the enterprise deployment scenario. And it made sense. It made a lot of sense. So we worked with the enterprise policy folks. And now you can register to get an enterprise account as a normal developer. And you can deploy apps for your alpha testing. And we've loosened the policies on that so that anybody can really do it. That way, if you have to do fast iteration on your applications, you want to do alpha testing, like I said, you can just send that out to the people in your company using a website or an email, and they can just start using that app right away and see if the new features work like you expected. Now, that being said, with great power comes great responsibility. Things that happen when you submit your app to the Windows Phone Store are things like we do Engine, like I said. We actually optimize your code so it runs faster when it's installed. Or we encrypt your application so that nobody can get at your IP because we know your IP is important and we want it protected. Whenever you use the enterprise story, you need to do this. You need to take care of these things on your own. Now, engineing, you don't have to worry about because we'll actually do that for you when you run the script that signs the application as an enterprise deployable app. So that part we thought about and we took care of. But the encryption part is something you really need to take care to think about. If you're going to send your app around an email, there's a chance that somebody could forward that email on and it could go wherever. It's not that it's the riskiest thing in the world, but it's still important to think about. So maybe a better solution would be to have something more like an app development hub. Imagine an application that you create that the user could install on their phone via the enterprise method, just like this. And that application would be kind of a portal to your app world, the stuff that your company works on. And then you could download and decrypt the application using that process or have it on an encrypted website instead of it just coming over the air and clear. It's a much safer way to make sure that your IP stays private and to your company. So just think about that when you decide to go the enterprise solution for app testing and app deployment for your own company. It's important to make sure that you keep your IP safe. So we did significant application and runtime improvements in Windows Phone 8. You get a lot of stuff for free, meaning that your app is just faster, and we thought that was important, so we made your apps faster. But Fast App Resume helps every single application out there. Go do this. It will make your app perceived to be so much faster by the user. They will like it better if you implement Fast App Resume. Multitasking improvements have given us some key new app experiences. I talked a little bit about VoIP. Live tiles, lock screen integration, these deep integration things you can do with the phone make it feel like it's their phone, but with your app and their personality, but with your app providing value. And then, again, the enterprise deployment stuff gives you great flexibility that you can do with your application for your internal small app deployments as part of your development process. So this is where you are right now in the App Foundations talk. There's some great talks coming up this afternoon. The camera app talk I saw for the first time yesterday is really, really interesting. If you're into camera APIs, it's really powerful stuff that you can do with the camera APIs. And then the UI and XAML talk at 5 o'clock this afternoon by Sean Oster is going to be great if you want to go into kind of now up the stack a level from the foundation to the actual XAML framework and the UI framework that you need to use to build an app. Sean's a great speaker. He'll entertain you guys, I'm sure of that. Some developer resources. Go out and check these things out. I highly recommend the Jumpstart link. There is so much content in there, you could spend days and days going through this stuff. So just make sure that you go out, check out these resources if you're new to phone development. And then finally, please remember to evaluate the session. If you don't give us evaluations, we don't know how we're doing, so please let us know how we're doing. Fill out an evaluation. And now, for the prize, for the phone, let's see what question should I ask. How about, what event would you get if your app had been previously launched, the user had hit the start button, and then they resumed your app from the main tile? I saw this gentleman in the red shirt. Can you see? Yep, I saw you put your hand up first. Activated is right. Good job. So we'll get you to this after the session. I've got about 5 minutes left, so if anybody has questions, we can take questions. If you would do me a favor and go to the mic. Thanks. I just have to turn off my... The music is still playing here in the background.
So the thing that really...
Yeah, feel free to go if you're a good go. Thanks, guys.
So the thing that really surprised me when Windows 8 came out and the WinRT APIs came out was just how different the lifecycle story is with a Windows 8 app, a Windows Store app, than it is on Windows Phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if there's the possibility if in the future, maybe near future, maybe far future, when the lifecycle stories are going to kind of coalesce and merge together and be the same across both of them.
Yeah, and so I didn't
really see the reason for why the Windows Phone one is so different than Windows 8.
So there's not a lot I can talk about that hasn't been released yet, but yes, we're absolutely thinking about doing convergence in as many ways and as much as makes sense. So don't worry, it's on the top of our mind for something that we need to consolidate. Thanks, that's good. Anybody else have questions or loud comments or? No? Oh. Yep. Good question. So the question was, what if with the app deep linking, if the app I'm trying to launch with that deep link URL doesn't exist on the phone? That's okay. If it doesn't exist on the phone, we'll take the user to the marketplace and we'll give them a chance to download an app that will handle that deep link. So the marketplace, sorry, the store itself knows that there are apps that can handle that kind of deep link and will point you at those apps. The question was, is there any way for a developer to determine what apps have already been installed that use those deep links? And I don't think so. There's no way to do that. Yes, I think that's true in some cases. You can find out if you're on, what apps that you own that are installed. Yes, that's right. Yeah. The reason that you can't know, thanks, Nora. The reason that you can't know what other apps are installed, if they're not your own app, is because it's a privacy issue. And it's a privacy issue for the user, too, so that your app doesn't get access to information that they might not want you to have access to information for. Thanks, though. That's a good question. Should add that to the slide. Anybody else? Anything else? Yep. So the question was, is there a cost involved for the enterprise deployment option? Yes, absolutely there is. You have to go buy, you basically have to go register for a certificate. The certificate costs money. I wish I knew the exact figure. But there is a cost involved in doing it. The cost is not extraordinary. It's $100, a couple hundred dollars. It's not thousands of dollars. So it's worth it for a lot of it might not be worth it for really tiny companies, but for most companies, it does seem to be worth it to take advantage of it. So someone in the back thinks the cost is $299, and I believe them. That sounds about right. Yeah, for an annual certificate. Yep. I think I saw a hand. Yep, sorry. So the question was, why not just use the beta marketplace? Why not just use the beta marketplace for testing internally instead of using the enterprise app deployment story? And you could. I mean, you absolutely could. The beta deployment story through the store is a great way to do beta deployments as well. We heard people saying, I like using the beta when I'm ready to release it to people who aren't in my organization, maybe external entities that I want to test my app, but I don't really want to use beta for the internal people because I want to iterate a little faster. When you use the beta store story, it's pretty fast for the beta to get pushed through in the store, but it's not as fast as me sending an email to you right now and getting access to the app. Yeah, and there's also the process of having to go to the store and actually fill out information to update the beta. It's not heavyweight, but people still felt like for quick iteration, it made sense for them to use the enterprise story. The beta store story is a great story to use too, though.
What's the name of the app you downloaded to view code?
Oh, let me figure. The question was the app I downloaded to view code. Let me tell you for sure after the session. But I swear it was called Code Viewer. It was a great app. Yep. The mic's right there. You can make it.
Question about the device management APIs. Are those APIs available to the developers, or they are more integrated with your device management portal or software, etc.?
The device management APIs. So there is a story between the like an actual management server and the on-device API set that you can use. But that's not the only way to do device management. You can't really do policy application unless you have something like Intune or a server like that to do. Forced to push the policies down onto the device. I can point you at all the documentation for the enterprise stuff after the session if you want.
I have another question.
Sure.
Help me understand the difference between Windows 8, Windows Phone, and Windows RT, like three platforms. And Windows Phone is only for the phones, or it's also available on the tablets?
So the difference between the platforms, I think, was the question. So the Windows 8 and the modern app story and WinRT, there are some crossover between WinRT APIs that you can use in the Windows 8 development story and the Windows Phone 8 development story. So there is a lot of shared APIs that you can use there. The big difference in the app stories today is the UI. It's the XAML framework that you use to write a Windows Phone app versus the XAML framework you use to use a Windows 8 app. Conceptually, they're very, very, very similar. And you can take care of a lot of that by doing MVVM, model view, view model. But the differences, I think you go to Matt Hittinger's talk tomorrow. He's going to talk about developing a Windows 8 app, developing a Windows Phone 8 app, and all the code sharing you can do. You might get a better understanding of kind of what makes sense to be shared between the platforms. Matt Hittinger is doing a talk tomorrow. I can back up real quick. It's on the slide. So he's doing a talk tomorrow. You can see Phone 2.2.15, build for both Phone 8 and Windows 8. That's a great one to go to learn about cross-development between the two platforms. Yep. So you kind of want to insert something into the back stack. I've never actually tried, to be perfectly honest with you, but let's come see me after the session and we'll have a quick look. I know you can pop specific pages off the back stack if you want, but I don't know if you can just go directly to a pin screen as a screen behind you in the back stack. I don't think there's a good way to do that. Let's have a look right after this. Okay, I'm actually out of time, so I mean, I can do a quick one-on-one with people afterwards. But anyways, thank you very much. Thanks for the time.